This is Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Today we have a terrific show we've been looking forward to. We're joined by Jim Hutchins, president of the Northwest Natural Horsemanship Center, Mustang Makeover's Mary Miller Jordan, and singer-songwriter Templeton Thompson. Today's show is sponsored by the gallery at East of Santa Fe and the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and those that love the equestrian lifestyle at the gallery at East of Santa Fe and in the General Store at our website at equestrianlegacy.net. When we come back, we'll be talking with Jim Hutchins.
She talks about them, dreams about them, thinks about them all the time. She's got to have them, be lost without them. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders. I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls? Dream about them. I live to love them, and I love to ride. I'll always have them, be lost without them. There's magic in those in love. What is it? What is it with girls?
That's Templeton Thompson's Girls and Horses, and we are very happy to have joining us today from Washington State, Jim Hutchins, who is the president of the Northwest Natural Horsemanship Center in Falls City, Washington. And Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Gary. You're gonna have to give me a minute here. Every time I hear that story or that song from Tempe, I just get all welled up. it so fits with what I do for a living.
that's great. Well, Tempe's a talented artist, and that is a great song. And actually, during the entire show today, we're going to feature her music. So you just better get a tissue. If that one gets to you, there's some more.
I guess so.
Yeah. But, Jim, we want to talk a little bit about you first. We're going to talk about the American Horsewomen's Challenge that's coming up in October, but let's get a little bit of background on you and what the Northwest Natural Horsemanship Center is.
Sure. About 15 years ago, you know, my family fell in love with a horse that came off a racetrack, and we got this horse and went, oh my God, what do we do with this thing now? It was nuts. And so we started looking around because, you know, we kind of learned traditional horsemanship, you know, yank, crank, pull, push.
Right.
Try to dominate, and none of that worked with this horse. And so when we came upon natural horsemanship, it just made incredible changes to the horse. And to us as well. And so we started pursuing that, and one thing led to another, and then people started asking us for help, and then we started hosting clinics with nationally recognized clinicians, and so we ended up turning it into a business, and now we do kids camps, we do lessons, we do clinics, we have internships, we have apprenticeships, and we do it all right out of our farm right here and just outside of Seattle.
Well, tell us a little bit about your farm. How are you set up, and which direction out of Seattle are you? We've got some friends there in Burlington. That's about an hour or so out of Seattle.
Yeah, Burlington's up north. We're just east of Seattle.
Okay.
Actually, at exit 22, so we're about 25 miles right from downtown Seattle. And, we just have about 14 acres here. Fall City is a small rural community, but part of the reason I'm here is because we have a whole bunch of big, high-density suburban communities all around us. So we're kind of nestled down in the valley with the hills and the mountains around us, and hiding amongst the trees nearby are thousands of houses. Because one of the things that, you know, that's a real part of my business is it's 12-year-old girls and 45-plus-year-old women. And so, you know, as a business person, I need to be where the customers are, and that's where they are.
Right, right, right. You know, that's very interesting. We had a guest on our Tuesday show, Saddle Up America. And he has clinics and does training in horsemanship in Tennessee. And his comment was the very same that you made. His clients are 12-year-old girls and 45-year-old women. And it's interesting the demographics of the folks that are so heavily involved in horses today.
Yeah, and, well, 85% of horse owners in the United States are women.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, I told a young lady that the other day, and she said, "Now prove that to me." And I said, "Well, you know, the numbers are out there." And but anyway.
Yeah. By the way, it's in a survey by the American Horse Association, I think it's called, about 1990s. I actually was talking to somebody the other day, and she said, "Yeah, I know that. I did that survey."
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's interesting. Yeah. That's pretty interesting. Talk to us just a little bit about these clinicians that you've got, because I took a look at your website earlier today, and you've got some pretty impressive clinicians that come in and participate there at Northwest Natural Horsemanship Center.
Yeah. You know, early on, part of the reason we made this into a business was that in order for us to go to a clinic, we'd have to go, you know, drive 7-8 hours one way. And so I said to my wife, "Why are we doing this? Why don't we just bring them here?" And so I've always been you know, a manager, an organizer, et cetera. And mm-hmm. So I just said, "Well, I'll do that end of the business." And so we started asking instructors to come here. You know, I wanted to make sure that we brought in people who that many of the horse people wouldn't necessarily have an opportunity to work with on a regular basis. You know, famous clinicians from you know, Texas, back east, California, Midwest. So I just started contacting them and saying, "Hey, how about coming up to Seattle?"
And, right.
We just work a deal, and I get the people here, and it's been wonderful. And it's really nice. I mean, you know, I've been very pleased. I don't think I've even had one clinician that was ever, you know, a challenge. They're all just wonderful people. You know, Craig Cameron, Jack Brainerd, great folks. And, of course, you know, there's some regional folks that we also do as well.
Right. Well, I think it's terrific that you're able to bring in to your area some of the legends in the horse business and some of the outstanding clinicians that, as you said, some people would just never get a chance to see and experience. So that's pretty cool. And Jack Brainerd, of course, is just such a legend himself.
Oh, and a great man, a wonderful man. I mean, just he's truly an inspiration to me, for sure.
Yeah. So, and as we're talking about Craig, as we're talking about Jack, that's kind of going to lead us into, I think, this American Horsewoman's Challenge. And what is that? Where did the idea come from? And talk to us a little bit about exactly what the American Horsewoman's Challenge is.
Yeah. Well, I was, you know, one of the clinicians that I brought in, I was having a conversation with them about all these different competitions and the ones that, you know, start Mustangs or young horses. And, you know, he was saying, anybody can do that sort of stuff in 4 to 6 days. He said, I'd like to see what they can really do with a horse in 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of took that as a personal challenge, and I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't fall back asleep, so I started thinking about it. And then, of course, you know, the perspective of who my customers are, which we talked about just a little bit earlier, those 12-year-old girls and 45-year-old women,
right?
And 85% of horse owners are women. It kind of came to me that, duh, what else should this be about? Because right now, especially in the Western world, Western competitive world, you know, there's
right.
a lot of testosterone, and there's really, women are really not honored and put up on a pedestal for all that they do, and they're training a good majority of North America's horses.
Right.
And so I presented this idea. And the guy said, wow, that's a great idea. And I went, uh-oh. and then I went out to my friends and buddies, Sylvia Zerbini, Eitan Besalachmi, Craig Cameron, and I said, hey, what do you think of this idea? And, you know, it was about a one-minute conversation. They said, I'm on board. And I went,
right.
Oh, no. So... So I said, look, it's got to be done. And, you know, I continue to hear from people all over the country that are just so appreciative of what we're doing, and especially the competitors, because, you know, we're challenging them in ways that they haven't been challenged before. And that's mainly because we have those three different areas of the competition, which is Liberty, Cowboy Dressage, and ranch and trail versatility.
Okay. All right. Now, and of course, a couple of those folks that you mentioned right off the bat are known for that. Eight with the cowboy dressage, and I guess Craig with
yep.
the extreme cowboy or the ranch and versatility
yep.
on there. So those are the three areas that your cowgirls will be competing in.
Yes. So. Basically, the way it runs is that when we introduced this back in February, the competitors had a few months to actually put together a 15-minute video of some specific tasks and tests that we wanted them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took those entries. I sent them out to 10 different judges that I had across the country. Every competitor was judged by at least two judges, and their scores were sent back here to Seattle. And that's how we selected the top 40 women that are in the competition. So over the last few months here, they've had a chance to start training their horse, and their horse has to be between 3 and 6 years old with no more than 10 rides on it.
Wow.
And And it's open to I didn't want it to be a cult starting competition because I wanted to make sure that anybody could enter. So my youngest competitor is 19, the oldest is 68. So, you know, I don't expect that 68-year-old to hop up on a rank Mustang.
Right.
So the horse can already be started. A lot of the women in the competition this year are actually starting a horse, and that's fine if they'd like to, but it's not necessary.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk some more about this selection. I want to talk a little bit more about how you made some of the decisions about what type of judges that you would have. And when you were talking about getting on that rank Mustang at 68, that kind of struck close to home. I have a birthday coming up. I'm not quite 68, but getting there. But it reminded me of a song that Templeton Thompson did called When I Get That Pony Rode. So we're talking to Jim Hutchins. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Every inch of me hurt. Guess it wasn't such
when I get that pony rode, that's Templeton Thompson. And Jim, how did you decide to do the? How did people know about this? I mean, how did your contestants know about the American Cowgirl Challenge? And what was the process for them? I mean, you gave them some things to put in a video. How did you communicate that, and how did you decide to use video? And a lot of operations, you know, they'll have preliminary competitions. This was kind of a cool way to do it.
Yeah.
The way that you've done it.
You know, it's the miracle of online communication.
Right.
It's amazing. My target audience are big cruisers on Facebook and other social media, and that's where we started getting out the word. Of course, you know, I've got connections with all kinds of different horse organizations and clinicians and things like that, and basically that's how we got the word out. It just virally passed itself around with a little help from me.
Right.
And as people started calling up and sending us emails and going online and registering. And, you know, I wasn't sure what we were getting or who we were going to get. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to get some incredible women in this competition. People like Mary Jordan, who we're going to talk with, Mary
right.
Kitzmiller from Road to the Horse, Obie Schlom from Road to the Horse. And then there's there's 38 other or 37 other women from all across the country. Some you've heard of, some just have a good regional reputation who are very talented horsewomen, and that's really what we were looking to do.
Right.
I decided not to do preliminaries, one, because I wanted to get it done this year and get it going, and I wanted to make it easy for folks because we're looking at women from all over North America. We specifically set up these tasks and tests in these three different areas because we wanted to look for do they have a relationship with the horse? Is the horse willing to do what they're asking? And when we see that, that's the primary focus of this competition, is that connection and willingness with the horse. And can you do that quietly, lightly, and cooperatively? And then, okay, we'll look and see, do you have any talent in either of these three areas? You know, liberty, cowboy dressage, and ranch and trail versatility. And then, like I said, then the judges just scored those basically on a 1 to 10 scale with, you know, 4.5 being the middle and going up and down on their score sheets. You know, it became apparent real quickly. I joke around with people. I say that Liberty is going to be the great equalizer in this competition. because a lot of people don't do Liberty.
Right.
And even some of the top horsewomen in the competition have said to me, you know, this is the first time I've really done Liberty. Thank you so much for putting it in there. I'm learning so much. And it is. I mean, it's your true connection with a horse is shown at Liberty. When that horse can take off and ignore you, that's when you know you have a partnership or you don't.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting because when I talked to Mary last week, I think it was, I asked her which of the three disciplines were the most challenging for her. And with her horse, that was not Liberty. It was the extreme, the ranch and versatility. I think it really depends on the horse. And, you know, we'll let her talk a little bit about that when she's on. Shortly,
yeah.
But it looks like it's going to be just an interesting competition to watch. And time
well,
moves on
I can go through
quickly.
No,
go ahead.
Oh well, you know, you had mentioned about, you know, fun and exciting to watch, and that's been my goal here. That's why like our ranch and trail versatility is going to be the extreme cowboy race, because it's just a lot of fun. If you've never seen it, you've got to go visit one. And, you know, because the important part of this thing is that the crowd has a grand and fun time. We want them to have fun during the competition. We want them to learn from the clinicians who are going to be there and giving demonstrations. We're going to arrange for some of the competitors to actually be giving some little workshops as well during the weekend. On Friday night for the open house, after the open house, that's when we basically invite all the audience to come on down onto the floor for a little boot scoot social and have some fun, meet Tempe and Marion Kennedy and the competitors. And, you know, just it's a very, you know, friendly and kind of atmosphere. We even have many of the competitors are actually getting together and practicing together. They're, you know, sharing and talking and blogging and, you know, it's to see all that is very, very refreshing, especially in the competitive horse world.
Oh, right. It is. Well, and I found, you know, talking with these folks in the past, Dave's been on the show, Craig's been on the show, Tracy Pinson, who's very active in Extreme Cowboy Association has been on, and it seems that everybody in all of those disciplines are really engaged in helping other people. You know, they want to make it more of a family. It's some of it's a competition, but it really is a chance to help each other become better horse people, and that's pretty neat. So the event is going to take place October the 3rd through the 5th in Guthrie, Oklahoma. And what's the location for that?
It's at the Lazy E Arena. It's a great arena. It's huge. and it's just recently been purchased by a new owner who's putting a bunch of money into it. And they have a really I couldn't ask for a better staff than at the Lazy E. Just incredibly helpful, straightforward, and so we're really looking forward to the Lazy E. The competition itself starts on that Friday with the Liberty, and the Liberty competition, and then on Friday evening is the opening ceremonies. And so there'll be you know, some equestrian entertainment, the Dynamite Dames and some Roman riders and also, you know, parade of athletes and that sort of thing. And then, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we'll have the boot scoot social right after the official part of the ceremonies. Then on Saturday, that's when we do the cowboy dressage. And then around noontime, we take a break, and Eitan Bethalachmi will actually be doing a little workshop and giving a demonstration during that time. And then we come back and finish up the day of cowboy dressage. And then on Sunday is the real busy day. We do the Extreme Cowboy Race, which is going to be hosted by Craig Cameron, in the morning. And then at lunch hour, Linda Pirelli, who's going to be one of our celebrity judges for the freestyle competition. She'll be doing a talk and a demonstration with some students at the lunch hour. And so over those 3 days, everybody is building up their scores. And then at the end of that, the cowboy dressage, we total up all the scores. And the top 10 competitors will do a freestyle routine. And the freestyle routine is more about entertainment value for the crowd. It's kind of like Dancing with the Stars. So those top 10 competitors will come out and do their routine. Then they have to go over and with their horse and stand in front of the judges who are mic'd live. The judges will give them a critique. The crowd will have their say, and then that's whoever comes out on top is the grand champion.
Oh, wow. Wow. So you'll have your competition with your Liberty, you'll have dressage, you'll have the Extreme Cowboy racing, and then your top 10 will go back in for the freestyle dressage?
Correct.
And then
correct.
Be scored, and then your champion will be crowned from that. That should be pretty exciting.
We'll have champions in each of the three areas and then an overall champion.
Okay. All right. Well, having seen some of these competitions before, this is going to be a very action-packed, quick-moving event because you've got a lot packed into 3 days.
Oh, we do. Everybody's, my show manager is, understands very much the need to keep moving people through. It's, we've got it planned down to every about 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And moving everybody through. So, but we can do it. Sunday will be a bit of a challenge, but the Extreme Cowboy race goes pretty quick. We're allowing 5 or 10 minutes for each person, but
right.
A lot of people get it done in like two. So, we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, and those sleepless nights that we have sometime can really come up with some things that become traditions for people. I can see that folks look forward to this year after year after year after this first one's done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're already talking with the Lazy E right now about dates for next year. I've received some inquiries from Europe about doing it in Europe, so I'm going to have further conversations about that. And, of course, it's that time of the year when we have to go out to sponsors again. So, I have some great sponsors this year in Tartar Farm and Ranch and Ram Trucks and Spalding Fly Predators and Cruel Girl. But it's time to go out again companies are setting their budgets. So it's kind of a never-ending process at this point.
Well, I understand. But it's going to be an exciting event, and we're going to encourage people that are anywhere in the area around Oklahoma and further to put that on the calendar and show up October 3rd through the 5th.
Tickets through Ticketmaster. I mean, just go to Ticketmaster and put in American Horsewoman's Challenge. So.
All right. Now, the website is American Horsewoman's Challenge, .com?
Yeah, it's just Horsewoman's, M-A-N-S, challenge.com.
Horsewomanschallenge.com.
Yep, and you can, and then there's, if you go to the page up at the top, the link that says tickets, there's links on there that'll send you right to Ticketmaster if you want.
Okay, great.
We also have group sales too for folks in the area who want to put together, bring 20 friends together or bring their club together and have them come over. One of the things that I've often talked to people about is how inspiring that this competition is going to be for young women. It's truly about quality, it's about leadership, and it's about drive, and great lessons for young women to learn.
Well, I'm sure that it is, and we're going to be talking with some of those young women in just a moment. Now, you're going to hang with us, aren't you, Jim?
Yeah, sure. I haven't had a chance to talk to Mary yet, at least not live, just through emails and Facebook, and I haven't talked to Tempe in a couple of months, so it'll be nice to listen and talk to them as well.
Well, I told Tempe this morning I'd taken an overdose of caffeine to get ready to talk to her and Mary. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to find out what life on planet Cowgirl is like. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with a couple of those cowgirls. We're talking with Jim Hutchins with American Cowgirl Challenge, and we're going to be talking with Mary Miller Jordan and our good friend Templeton Thompson in just a moment. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
making sure you make the most of every breath you take. And knowing that today ain't just another day going by. Never saying never, 'cause that just ain't how you ride. That's life on planet Cowgirl. I'm grateful every day that I get to call. Bring on that horizon, shooting for the moon and stars. Heading down the trail, let's travel even more. It must be a long and winding rocky road. You ain't scared at all, 'cause deep in
Templeton Thompson's Life on Planet Cowgirl, and we just have a house full now. We want to welcome Mary Miller Jordan and Templeton Thompson to the show. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hey,
Templeton.
Hello, hey, girls. How's it going?
Oh, how gosh.
Hey, Jim. Hi. Hey, man. Hey.
Oh, wow. What a party we've got now. Hey.
It is a party.
It is a party. It is. And, you know, just two exciting ladies that are joining us here, Jim. And first of all, I want to start out with and ask this question. How did, and Mary or Templeton, either one of you can answer this, but how did you guys meet?
Oh, wow. Do you want to answer that, Templeton?
You can do it.
Darling,
okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, a mutual Facebook friend of ours named Tandy had actually sent me a CD of Templeton's music, and I popped it into my CD player on the truck and started listening to it, and I was just blown away. And, I mean, I listened to it over and over and over again, and especially her Girls and Horses song, oh, it just hooked me. And so ever since then, I have been a huge Templeton fan and have just reached out to her and stayed in touch with her and just always been so in awe of how real she is. I mean, even beyond her music, just the way she handles her social networking on Facebook and stuff. I mean, she really does care, and the fans really do matter, and it's like everyone's part of her family. So I just feel so blessed to be connected with her now and so thankful to Tandy for helping us with that connection.
Oh, I love you, MJ.
I love
thank
you.
Well, you know,
fan of you, darling. And Tandy, we love you. Thank you.
Well, you know, here at the office, when I first played Girls and Horses to, you know, everybody in the office, there was not a dry eye in the shop, and I went, I got to call this lady.
Aw,
so,
thank you.
Thanks for coming
sweet.
On board, Tempe.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so pumped, man, and I'm so honored to be a part of it. This is going to be so much fun, and I can't wait to be learning. As a horsewoman myself, I'm going to be watching all these rock star cowgirls just cheering everybody on, and as y'all, everyone out there in my social networking community knows what a huge fan I am of Miss MMJ, Miss Mary Miller Jordan, so it's just going to be so much fun to just be there immersed in all that amazing horsewomanship, so I can't wait.
Well, I know it's going to be a big time for all of you guys, and a lot of folks know how talented Templeton is as a singer and songwriter, but you're quite the horsewoman too. So, you know, I could actually see you competing in something like this with Bo or Jane. Except they may have had...
God, I would love to. You know, maybe someday down the line, you know, you just never know. But I did tell Mary that along the line here, I've been trying to kind of follow along with what all the exercises are and what everyone has to do to compete with their horses, just to kind of feel like I've at least tried it too, kind of along with everybody. And I'm a little behind the eight ball right now on that, because I've been so dang busy with our music stuff, because that's what, you know, that's what my living is. So, but anyway, just so I can empathize and understand, you know, what Mary and all the girls are doing with their beautiful equine partners. And it's, as we all know, as horse people, it ain't easy. And if it looks easy to anybody, I welcome anyone to jump in the arena and try it.
That's right. And by the way, Jim, I guess you probably know both of these ladies have horses that have become Briar horse models.
Well, I didn't know Tempe had one.
Yeah.
Oh, which one?
Yeah.
My Jamie, my baby girl.
Yeah. So
I'm
assuming.
She's got two of them.
I'm assuming that you ladies have exchanged Briar horses, you know, so that you're sharing.
Well, we actually haven't done that, Templeton. We need to do that. But we went to Briar Fest together and actually were able to perform together when they released the model of my Mustang at Lindsay's Faith. They invited Templeton as well, and we did some cool performances together then. It was when they were following us for the Mustang Millionaire series. So.
Right.
Briar has kind of been a connection for us as well.
Well, it is. Well, you guys are a pretty good team. I want to talk a little bit about the Mustang Million, and I want to talk about the Believe in Me song. I do know that Templeton has a. I try to be professional on the air.
You're so sweet.
You're welcome. I told folks when Templeton was on once before that, you know, pretty soon you won't have to say Templeton Thompson. You'll just say Templeton, and it will be like Madonna or Cher. They know exactly who you're talking about. I love you too. But I know that you have an appointment in just a little bit, so we don't want to keep you tied up when you have to go. Just let me know.
Oh, you're awesome, man. I appreciate that. You're so sweet.
All right.
I'm good for a good few minutes here.
Okay, good deal. But anyway, let's talk a little bit Mary, about how you got involved with the, I think it was the Mustang Makeover originally, and then the Mustang Million, and how.
Yeah,
talk to us a little bit about that, and then talk to me some about how you and Tempe and Sam got together, Templeton, got together to do this Believe in Me song.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you, I've always been drawn to a horse that needed a makeover, so to speak. You know, I've always kind of got the problem horses or the ones that nobody else wanted. And, you know, the Mustangs are not problem horses at all, but there are a lot of unwanted Mustangs out there. There's just way too many, and there's not enough people reaching out to adopt them. And that's how the Extreme Mustang Makeovers came about. And it was so neat because a person named Jim Thomas, who's become a great friend, he actually responded to a Craigslist ad that I had about a manure spreader. And he comes to our farm to buy our manure spreader, okay, and ends up buying it, didn't hassle with us, just gave us what we were asking, just so easy to deal with. But in the process, he's one of those people that you don't meet Jim Thomas and not remember him forever and ever. I mean, he's just one of those characters. He starts telling me about the makeovers, and he had done quite a few Mustang makeovers himself, and he basically just sold the whole concept to me. I mean, he talked to me for over an hour, and I was pumped up and ready to go. And after that was actually in the end of 2009. Well, 2010 was the first year they offered the Supreme Extreme Mustang Makeover, which was a new concept where you actually get to adopt your horses up front, and you get to keep the horse after the makeover. Some of them the horses adopt out at the end, and the trainer can get the horse, but they have to bid on the horse. And I was always a little scared off of that because I knew good and well I was going to get attached to mine. And so anyway, I jumped at the one that we got to adopt the horse up front, and that ended up being Lindsay Faith, who was the one that was turned into the Breyer model horse later on. And I just, ever since then, was hooked, and I did the makeovers consecutively in 2010, 2011, and 2012, and then 2013. And we've kept all of our Mustangs. I'm a sucker. We've got about, I believe, 8 Mustangs now. And, you know, they're all incredible. Every one of them has something different to offer. None of them are the same. I mean, they're just like children. I cannot express how different each of them are, but they all have taught me exactly what I needed to learn at that time, and I really enjoy doing things with them together at Liberty. I've really gotten into like multiple Mustangs together at Liberty so that I can work with all of them at one time and really enjoy that, but through, you know, the makeover competitions, you do a freestyle for the last part of the competition, and when we were training for the Mustang Million program, which was just another Extreme Mustang Makeover with a whole lot of money on the line, is what Mustang Million was. They had selected us to be featured on this show that they put on National Geographic called Mustang Millionaire. And so throughout preparing for that, I knew that there was such a message with the horse that named Flying Colors that I had for that competition and that I still have. And I wrote a poem about it, and I shared that poem with Templeton, and basically Templeton and her very talented husband Sam took that poem and turned it into a just phenomenal song called Believe in Me that just totally captures that relationship that I feel like I have with the Mustangs, and that really I strive to have even with my inner self. I mean, these horses, it goes so deeper than just a horse. I mean, they really represent everything that there is in life to me, and it's just a powerful song, and she and Sam just did such a beautiful job putting it together. It was just such an honor, and to have that now to be able to always listen to, and I ride to it all the time. I've done other freestyles to it in the future. Templeton and I were really blessed to be able to actually perform together to that song with Flying Colors in Texas at a big event that was with some of the other teams from Mustang Millionaire. So it's just been a blessing, and Templeton is just such a huge part of it.
Well, you guys,
you guys
are a great team. We want to share Believe in Me with our audience, and we want to do this before Tempe has to leave. So let's listen to Believe in Me by Templeton Thompson, and this was written by Mary Ann Templeton and Sam. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. Don't go away, Jim, because we're going to let you jump back in just a minute.
Well, I'll be there.
All right, here we go. Fantastic song, and of course Templeton Thompson is one of the most talented artists that we have in Music City. We just need to let everybody know that.
Oh yeah, and sell in the nerve spreader, and you might get to write a song with her. That's the message. Things can start from the littlest, really, like the littlest, craziest things, and look what it leads to. It's just, you never know where your blessings are being hidden in a little corner somewhere.
Well, that's
true. So
I guess you never know when you step in manure how it's going to turn out.
This is
that,
right.
That
was manure turned to gold.
Oh, goodness.
Hockey rocks, y'all. Hey, and I just wanted to say that on my Facebook page, I just I reposted the link for the song, and then I also, Mary, I posted your original poem, too, so people could, I know you've posted that before, but I posted that again, too, so they could actually see the actual poem that inspired the song, so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, we want to talk some more with Mary, and I hope your time is good, Mary. Jim, I hope you're good.
Yeah,
we're going to come back and talk some more about the American Cowgirl Challenge. I know that Tempe needed to leave about 1 o'clock so she could do an appointment.
I bought a few more minutes, though, from my appointment, so I've got an extra 30 minutes, so I can hang for a few more minutes if you want me to. If not, I can scooch.
I can't think of anybody I'd rather spend a half an hour with. So
you're so sweet. I'll probably jump off the phone probably in about, 10, 15 minutes or so. So, yeah, if y'all need me, I'm here.
You just let me know what you need to do, I do want to ask you this, because we're going to get into some conversation about how Mary got into the competition that's coming up, but you performed, wasn't it, last night down at Third and Lindsay?
On Tuesday night. Oh, man, I had so much fun.
Tuesday.
Oh, my God. It was so awesome.
Yeah,
cool thing called Digital Rodeo. They are the coolest friggin' people on the planet.
Right. Well, this girl is so talented. I want to know where you're going to be next, where people might be able to find you.
Oh, you're awesome. I'm going to be with my man Sam, and I'll say, and I emphasize with my man Sam, because here's what's wild. You guys pretty much know that when I perform, Sam and I perform together. Most of the time it's either he and I doing an acoustic duo thing, or when we take a band on the road, and even when I'm out singing to our tracks, those tracks are beautiful pieces of music that Sam's created upstairs in our little studio out here in the country, and so I'm singing to those tracks that Sam did, my little band in a box, when I'm out on my own 2 feet just singing for arena crowds. So anyway, long and short, for this cool thing that I got to do, I got to perform 2 songs with this, oh, my God, amazing band, y'all. They are just amazing. The guys have played from everyone like Keith Urban and Sarah Evans, Thompson Square. I mean, these guys, oh, my God, just amazing people. And then Linda
Davis.
I was going to say, just wonderful. Linda Davis hosted the whole deal. Anyway, long and short, I went up there and did 2 songs without Sam. He's like, you know what? This one I think you ought to get up there and do with the band. I'm going to sit in the audience and actually watch you perform. So that was really... It was a really amazing night, and I'm grateful to the Digital Rodeo folks. They're awesome. And they gave me the coolest belt buckle, you guys. I can't wait for y'all to see it.
Oh, great. Ooh. That's great. That's great.
But anyway, you answered. I'm yammering. You got to watch me. I've had too much coffee. That's probably the case today. I'm going to be with my man Sam up in Lucky, Ohio on September 27th. I believe that's correct, at the Serenity Farm Therapeutic Riding Facility. We're doing the Serenity Farm fundraiser. So I'm really excited to go up there and be amongst people, kindred spirits, right, who know the healing, loving power of these beautiful animals. And these folks are PATH certified and EGALA certified. So they're doing equine-assisted psychotherapy there, and they're doing equine-assisted learning. They're doing therapeutic riding. They're healing everybody, and 2 and 4-legged. So I'm always thrilled and honored to be a part of events like that. So, yeah,
We're actually doing that same thing this weekend with the Warrior Families.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You guys are awesome. God bless you guys for what you do. You do such beautiful work. Beautiful work.
Thanks.
Well, these horse people are, and we've talked about this a lot, the horse world is a very small world, and the music world is a very small world. And by the way, Belinda Gale was with us last week. She said, say, hey, Tempe.
Hi, Miss Belinda. I love her so much.
but you guys performed together Valentine weekend a couple of times in Nashville, I think. But anyway, we want to keep up with you because you're one of our favorite folks. We have people that all over the country that try to follow you, and they know you're going to be on the show. They love to tune in and do that. Mm-hmm. So I know it's going to be a real plus for the American Horsewoman's Challenge to have you in Oklahoma City. And I just found out that our good friend Mary Ann Kennedy is going to be there. And
I was just going to say, is she going to officially be there? Because I was just going to say she might be. So let's make sure that she is. Okay, yay. Rockstar cowgirl Mary Ann Kennedy. My buddy.
I'm getting that from Jim, so, you know.
Yay! That makes me happy. And then, Jim, you've got other, like, amazing acts coming in, too, right, because of the Bluegrass Festival? Is that correct?
Yeah, we're working on getting the Oklahoma Bluegrass Festival is at the same time as the challenge. So we're looking to get some acts in from over there. So those aren't finalized yet, so I, you know, can't say any names,
yeah.
But
right.
Soon enough. So.
Right.
Way cool.
Well,
I can't wait to hear everybody.
That's pretty cool stuff. Well, it is. It's a small world. It's kind of interesting because, you know, Tempe's going to be doing this Theodore Murphy Foundation Trail Ride with us in Tennessee in June, and we're having the Extreme Cowboy Association National Championship joining us this time. Tempe, I don't know if you knew that.
I think you told me that. I am so excited. I need to call Miss Fiona and Ryan and reach out again because she's got to come out and meet Jane and Bobo.
So I talked with Daylynn Cameron yesterday. I think maybe Craig's going to be up there for that as well. So, you know, it's a pretty small world, isn't it, Jim?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean,
it's just a great bunch of folks.
Oh, yeah. You know, I started this thing and talked to a few people that I knew, and all of a sudden I'm talking to people all over the country I've never met before, and every time I talk to somebody else, it's, oh, you know them, and oh, you know them, and oh, I know them. And
it's pretty so. Neat. But anyway.
Hey, Jim, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt, but Gary and I think you and I talked about this, about the amazing rock star cowboy Craig Cameron. Do you know that he's an amazing harp player? You probably do.
Well,
I mean,
you know, I've
harmonica.
Heard it, but whenever he's been here, he hasn't played for us. But
okay.
I'll be sure
he's
to twist
awesome.
His arm the next time, you know, on a Saturday evening after the clinic. We can sit around the campfire.
Cool. He's great.
All right. Well, that sounds like fun. Well, listen, let's talk a little bit more about the American Horsewoman's Challenge. And Mary, I know that you have been working with, tell us about the horse that you're working with and what you've been doing to get ready.
Oh, yeah. I was just so excited that Mr. Jim came up with this concept because, you know, I've done all these makeovers, and with each of the makeovers, you adopt a new wild Mustang. And a while back, I actually was contacted by a friend that had found this particular Mustang that was still wild but was already adopted, so he wasn't under ownership of the BLM anymore. He had his title, but the people that had him didn't want him and needed to unload him really quick, or they were kind of desperate to get him gone. And I ended up going and getting this horse, and, you know, you can't take them all, but there was something about this little horse that just really struck me. And, you know, I got him home, and I did a little bit to get him gentled, enough to see that he was like a deer in mentality. Not like any Mustang I've ever had. And I've had some Mustangs that were difficult. I've had some that were aggressive. I've had some that were really fearful. But this horse is almost like he's a whole other species altogether. It's like he's more like, he really is. He's totally, he is wired different than any creature I've ever known. And I, you know, he's extremely talented, extremely athletic. And, you know, any of them that are that sensitive and reactive tend to be really, really nice when you can really tap into that. So I've always thought, you know, how cool would it be to really develop this horse to his full potential? But, you know, it's hard to really focus on just one horse when I have all these others and I have other commitments that I feel like I need to be taking care of and stuff. And so when the Horsewoman's Challenge came along and you could select your own horse, I thought, oh, my goodness, how wonderful to have kind of a cookie, a motivator for me to really develop
this horse that needs to be developed desperately. I mean, needs to be a lot more than just barely gentle. I mean, for example, when you throw him a pad of hay, for the first year that we had him, I spent about 30 days getting him gentled, and then he pretty much stood in the pasture for a year because I did the Mustang Million. I had to work with other horses. So we fed him and took care of him, but I wasn't doing anything with him. And when we would go out to feed, when you would throw him a pad of hay, he would flee from that pad of hay like it was a monster every day.
Oh, wow.
twice a day for a year this horse would do this. You would think that, eventually he would kind of recognize that, oh, that's food, but, he'd come back and eat it. But in his mind, when you threw that hay into the paddock or into the pasture, in that moment it was killing him. And it was just, he is wired in this very unique way. I mean, he's wired to get the heck out of Dodge and survive. So, doing this challenge has just been perfect for him, and I've spent a lot of time with him. The Liberty stuff, I love. That was one of my draws for the competition anyway, because I just really love Liberty. And not that it's not a challenge. It's certainly not. It's not that it just all of it comes easy, but I love having a competition where we actually can have that as a component, because it's so much a part of what we do with our horses anyway. And I think lots of times when we're in competitive circles, you feel like you need to ride because that's what you're getting judged on. But if you really take the time to work on the Liberty component, it makes the riding so much stronger. It all ties together.
Right.
So we've been doing lots of Liberty. We've been working on our cowboy dressage, which I'm new. I've done some dressage before, but never the cowboy dressage, and I'm loving it. I love the challenge court. I love the poles in the arena. It is so cool, and I think it actually helps in a way because it kind of helps you see where you are in the arena. So I'm now a fan of cowboy dressage as well. And
Eitan says that, he wants you to use cowboy dressage not just to, to compete, but to train your horses. He says
exactly.
Cowboy dressage is for training. And
you're right.
So
you're
doing it the right way.
Well, that's the thing that's so cool about the way that they have it set up is you're exactly right. It's not like some other sports where you do certain things to kind of prep your horse to then have the final result that you put in front of the judge. You actually do. Every component that you're being judged on is a component of creating a better relationship and better communication with your horse. And the cool thing is it's like the circles you do at Liberty, okay, that mirrors the 10-meter circles or the 20-meter circles of your cowboy dressage. So the two different preliminaries actually complement one another really well, as well as the cowboy race. And the cowboy race is typically, I would say, would be obstacle stuff is something that I love. I mean, we actually host obstacle challenges back home. So I'm all about obstacle competitions. But this particular horse it will definitely be of the three things, it's the most challenging. Because he's one of those horses that is always, always going to give something the hairy eyeball. I mean, if I was living out on the range with him, we would make it. We would survive. Everybody else would be dead. Me and this horse, we would live. So that is definitely the biggest challenge. But in lies, the biggest reward. So it's
right.
Wonderful.
Right.
Does he like to run, too?
Oh, he loves to. This horse loves to be on the muscle. So he'll love the aspect, the getting to fly around the arena. He'll love the on the muscle parts of the cowboy dressage for sure. I mean, the cowboy race rather.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Well, it's an exciting competition, with the three different parts to that, and I'm sure that's something that the competitors are going to enjoy preparing for. The crowd is going to love watching this, and it really should be a great event for people to plan on attending. So when you found out about this, Mary, was it, oh, yeah, let me do this, or let me think about it, or...
Well, at first it was kind of initially a let me think about it, only because I had really planned on this year not doing any competitions. I knew I didn't want to do a makeover this year. I knew I wanted to focus more on the clinics that I've been doing and focus more on the horses that I already have. But a friend of mine, Patrick, on Facebook, that does a lot of Western dressage stuff, he actually shared it on my wall, and I saw it, and I thought, oh man, how can I not check this out? And I did, and I think the combination of the Liberty and the fact that we got to use our own horse, I couldn't not do it. I mean, and I'm definitely competitive. I think anybody that does anything like this is going to have that kind of streak in them. And I think it makes us better because you're only as good as your competition. So being surrounded by some really talented horsewomen, pushes all of us to be better. But I think the biggest reward of this has been the incentive to really develop this very talented horse. No matter how it pans out for us in October, I want this to be a stepping stone for him to continue to move onward and upward. And honestly, I don't think I could have put forward the type of energy and dedication and focus to this one horse that I have without something like this as a motivator. So I'm just eternally grateful.
That is great.
And Mary,
great.
I'm eternally grateful for you for stepping up to the plate and joining us for the competition. It is a real honor, and I'm looking forward to learning a heck of a lot from you.
It can be fascinating. Everybody, gosh, the people you've got a really nice group of ladies.
When I came up with this idea and, I was told that's a great idea, I went, okay. And I just basically put it in God's hands, and away it went.
Yep, yeah, it has.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating, great time. Yes,
hey, I don't mean to interrupt you guys. I love y'all so, so, so very much. I'm thrilled to be part of it. Can't wait to be making music there for you guys in October. And love you, MMJ. Love you, Hutch.
Love you,
Gary. I am going to scooch. You guys have a blessed and beautiful day, okay? And I will talk to all of y'all very soon.
All right.
Take care, Templeton.
Bye,
thanks,
you guys. Love. Bye.
Okay. All right, great to have Templeton join us on the show. I've got to remember to say Templeton. Great to have Templeton on the show. And, time has been flying on this. Mary, I need to have you come back on the show again because I want to talk to you.
I
want to talk to you about the Be Me program.
Yeah.
Body, mind, and energy relationship. There's a lot of things that we can talk about just to spend some time visiting with you. And, Jim, you're going to be joining us on September the 11th, I think. And let me just take a minute to mention that on September the 11th, that's on Thursday, September the 11th, we are, Equestrian Legacy Radio is doing a salute to America. We're remembering our servicemen and women and our first responders. And so that day we have a special show. Jim will be joining us, R.W. Hampton will be joining us. Craig Cameron will be with us. We also have Matt Luttrell, who is the Marine, former Marine, that's doing the long ride home, traveling across the country, and also Sam Hubbard, who has been riding across the country with the One Nation ride. So it's going to be a terrific show on September the 11th, and we're looking forward to that. We'll be saluting our first responders, our servicemen and women, and we're calling that a salute to America, My Country Under God. So we want people to be sure and join us for that show. That's going to be a good one. But Jim, give us a little wrap-up on what we need to be looking for October the 3rd through the 5th.
The big thing right now is go get your tickets. Also get your hotel rooms. It's a busy time, especially with Oklahoma Sooners football. you can get the tickets through Ticketmaster. And just go in there and type in American Horsewoman's Challenge, and you'll see you can buy single event tickets, or you can, the best deal is just to buy for the whole weekend, and you get basically all four events for the price of three. And then, of course, we have group sales, for those folks that may have 20 or more people that they want to bring together. And, they can make arrangements for that right through the Lazy E Arena ticket office.
Okay. All right. And so visit the website, That is horsewomanschallenge.com?
Correct. Or you can go to Facebook, horsewomanschallenge.com, or Pinterest, or YouTube, or on and on.
You guys are everywhere. That's great. That's great. So that's American Horsewoman's Challenge, October 3rd through the 5th in Guthrie, Oklahoma. Going to be a great time. Mary Miller Jordan is going to be there competing. Some great, great women athletes with their horses. Some terrific judges and clinics that are going to be going on. And, of course, tremendous entertainment with Templeton and Mary Ann Kennedy and more to see there. So, guys, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. It's been a pleasure to have you, and never enough time when you have good guests.
Well, thank you very much, Gary.
Yeah, all right, look forward.
Absolutely. And it's nice to talk to you, Mary, since we really haven't Facebook. Don't call me.
I know it. You're alive. You have a voice. I knew we both did.
Goodness.
Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, thank you both for joining us. And, Mary, we'll be in touch and see if we can schedule you to have come back on the show and visit with us and talk about your horsemanship. And Jim, we'll be talking to you again probably before September 11th. So thanks very much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Sir. Thank you.
All right. Talk with you both soon. And enjoyable show. Just a lot to try to get in a short period of time. So that was Jim Hutchins with the American Horsewoman's Challenge. He's the president of the Northwest National Horsemanship Center, and Mary Miller Jordan and Templeton Thompson. So appreciate those folks joining us today. We want to call your attention to a legacy club that we created with Equestrian Legacy Radio. It's absolutely free. It's a free enrollment for our listeners. It's our thank you for being part of the Equestrian Legacy Radio family. Our Legacy Club sponsors offer discounts and special offers to our Legacy Club members. You're automatically entered in our monthly drawing and year-end drawing for the grand prize. And for August, you still have time to enroll in the Legacy Club. We're going to be drawing for a beautiful custom fire ring. It's a portable fire ring made by the shop in Texas, and we'll be drawing for that on August 31st. And then our year-end prize is a revolutionary two-horse automatic watering system for your trailer, and that's made by Hydro Horse. And you can visit both of those at our website, equestrianlegacy.net, to find out more about the shop and also to learn more about Hydro Horse's revolutionary watering systems. So anyway, a lot of fun on the show today. We encourage you to join us next Tuesday night. We'll be going to New York to visit with Pure Country Campgrounds there. We have a very exciting guest that will be joining us to talk about trail tips and trail riding. We also will be playing trail trivia on Tuesday night on Saddle Up America. And then on Thursday next week, we have the legendary Dave Stamey that is joining us with more special guests. And then, of course, our special show on September 11th. Mark your calendar, because that's going to be a tremendous show. Saluting America, remembering our firefighters, our policemen, our first responders, our servicemen and women. So we remind you, as always, when you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Your flight.